Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is a, I'm not going to say it's a good Wednesday. I'm troubled right off the top about what happened in Roanoke today. And if you've not seen or heard, and hopefully you do not see, there was a shooting today that I'm going to get into in a minute that involved a news reporter and her cameraman live on the air were shot and killed. So I'm just numb today, but we're going to do our show. We're going to do our thing. Pedro Gomez will be with us at 10:20. And we're going to talk to Pedro. Pedro's done live shots before and with ESPN. He's done stuff worldwide. He's done stuff in situations. This shooting today was at a mall. Very innocuous location to do a, it's a morning show, light and fluffy. But I'm sure Pedro's troubled by this as well because he's been in that space. I've been in that space. Simeon Rice is going to be with us on today's show. I'm looking forward to visiting with Simeon, the former Cardinal, three-time Pro Bowler, Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Simeon is now going into the world of movie producing. And his first movie comes out this Friday. It's called Unsullied. He directed, co-wrote it, and it starts this Friday. So I want to talk to Simeon about when's the last time he played? Do you think he can help the Cardinals out, among other things? So we'll talk with Simeon Rice. That comes up on the show as well. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick, he is a busy man. Busy, busy man. I see these events that he's going to, events that he's emceeing. Last week he emceed the Arizona State Sun Devil kickoff luncheon. I heard he crushed it, heard he killed it. He's big into being involved in the community, not just with ASU. He is a Sun Devil. Not just with the Diamondbacks. He is a big fan of the Diamondbacks and, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. Tim has a roster of people that represent Santan Ford. I'm part of that roster. I'm very proud to be part of that roster, and I've been part of that roster for the last 3.5 years. And with that, I drive a vehicle from Santan Ford that I like a great deal, the Ford Fusion. We purchased a vehicle at Santan Ford that we really like as well. At Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, it is all about you. So about an hour ago, I came into the studio, and I was on the phone all morning doing my stuff, doing the business side of this with Sports 360 and doing some show prep things too. But and I came in here, and we have a bank of monitors in the studio, and I turned them all on, and I look up, and I see that every monitor is going through the reporter and photographer shot and killed on live television today. And my heart just sank. I was at Channel 3 when I lost two coworkers at Channel 3 when a helicopter went down. And there's actually two other photographer and helicopter pilot at ABC 15 at the time that were lost as well. And I'll never forget that day at the TV station of people's just disbelief and shock. And so today, that hit me first. And then I'm not one of those that sits there and needs to see video. And evidently, this guy that did the shooting today posted the video of what he did to this reporter and this photographer. And I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to see it. But it just hits awfully close to home, obviously. And when you're in harm's way, I don't know about you guys, when you're with your coworkers, and you guys are a team or you're a family and you have things that you share with one another. When you're at a TV station, when I was there for 10 years doing that news thing, and it's like making sausage. Nobody likes seeing how sausage is made. We like eating it, but nobody likes to see how sausage is made. And there would be times where reporters would go out to stories and be put in harm's way or be in a position. And it wasn't intentional by any stretch. It's reporters doing their jobs. You know, I think of a guy like Mike Watkus, who's as good as anybody that I've worked with and have the utmost respect because I saw how hard he worked. He wasn't just a pretty face who didn't know anything. And there's plenty of those. There's in TV, there's readers, there's actors and actresses, and there's people who really know their stuff. Or as I say, people who really know their bleep. And Mike's one of those that really knows his bleep. And, you know, the rest I really don't have much use for in terms of professionalism. It's just I want to get a demo tape and get a big deal, and I'd rather be an actor or an actress in Hollywood than do this news thing. And it's very disingenuous. This poor girl that goes out there this morning, I don't know her. I didn't know the photographer. I hadn't heard their names before until I looked up on the screen about an hour ago. And she was just out doing a morning show. I think all of you have watched morning show television. You see they do the live shots. Very light, it's very fluffy. There's never much stuff in the way of depth in morning shows, in my view, this day and age. It's let's just make you feel good and get your day off and running. So she's out, and she's at a mall, and somebody's watching on live television. She gets gunned down by a former coworker. And the photographer gets gunned down by this former coworker. And I see the general manager trying to explain it away, and it will lead every story tonight, and it'll lead every story today. But in our industry, we go out and we do things. And I very, very, very few times that I ever feel like I was in a bad spot doing what I did through the years at sporting events. But there were the occasional times where there were people that would harass you or want to yell at you and get you off your game or drop an F-bomb on you or shove you or push you, and that sort of stuff happened. So I'm bothered today. Now, I'm going to do this show, but there are days where we aren't just a show that talks about sports. I think we're just a part of the fabric of life, what we see that goes on in our world. We're very open and raw about it. And I'm not afraid to let myself go a little bit on some things. So I've got that on my head today. I'm going to talk to Pedro in a few minutes about the Diamondbacks. And man, they're a bug on a windshield right now. Like last night, that game was over in, I don't know, did you watch any of it last night, Eric? Any at all?
Saw parts of it. Didn't see all of it.
Did you see the first 15 minutes? That's all you needed to see.
I did not, unfortunately.
Then you just saw filler material. I think like Brenly and Berthume last night had to reach way deep into the files to fill 3 hours last night. Way, 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 way deep. So in the last two games, the Diamondbacks have looked pretty much like a third-place team within their division when they play one of the best, if not the best team in all of baseball. And it gives you an idea as to how far away they are. Robbie Ray was just overmatched last night. I'm not sitting here ripping on them. It's just, this is a nice run. They're still hanging in there. They could get a turnaround, win two in a row. But the last two nights, it clearly has been David against Goliath. No other way to put it. They haven't played smart. They haven't had good defense. They just haven't done many things well. So we're going to talk to Pedro about that here in a few minutes. The Cardinals play the Raiders on Sunday night. The game is this Sunday. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be better. For those of you that have been upset with me through the years because I use the line about the Raiders that their marketing slogan should be commitment to incompetence rather than commitment to excellence. Because I run into these Raider fans and they're, oh yeah, we're the Raiders and we're this and we're that. And I was like, you guys get your butts kicked every year. You make beyond stupid player personnel decisions. You get guys that can't coach. You're completely dysfunctional. I'll talk to players that are with the Raiders and they can't wait to get out of there because they have no idea what they're doing. But for the first time in a long time, I think the Raiders are going to be kind of fun. I think they're kind of a sleeper over in that division. And so we'll get to see Carr and we'll get to see Amari Cooper. And that will be a very good test for the Cardinals' defense. We've talked ad nauseum about the offensive line. I'm not going to sit here and do backup right tackles and starting right tackles for segments at a time. I'm not going to waste your time on that stuff. It's a concern, the offensive line is, but come on, we're better than that. On the college football front, yesterday we talked about Steve Sarkisian over at USC. And Sark had his press conference yesterday. By the way, if you're going to use somebody's nickname, shouldn't you use it in a tone where they're having great success? I mean, if you use somebody's nickname and they're not having success in sports, is that kind of over the top? Like if the Diamondbacks lose 10 in a row, am I still supposed to refer to this player as this guy? If Goldschmidt is in a 0-for-50, am I saying Goldie? Am I just being too nice? Am I just being too fandomish? Yeah, I think I am. So I should probably say Sarkisian. If you're a USC fan today, you're pissed. If you're a UCLA fan, you're very happy. If you're an Arizona State fan, you're pretty happy too. If you're a U of A fan, I think you're thrilled with what's going on over at USC. I don't like to see anybody go through personal stuff. I don't. But when it comes out yesterday that the head coach at USC says, yeah, we probably should get alcohol out of the coach's room. Come on. Seriously, are you hearing yourselves? I don't know. Are the kids that you're coaching underage?
oh, well, come on, you know, it's just football. This is the wussification, and the game is what it is, and what's the big deal about having a beer in front of a young man? It's illegal. So don't have it sitting there in front of an 18, 19, and 20-year-old in a cooler. Go hide a cooler somewhere else. You know, go somewhere else on campus and have a cooler put away somewhere. Go to a spare room somewhere, anywhere, or just go off campus. So the head football coach has got to seek treatment. Turns out the head football coach, Steve Sarkisian, is going through a divorce. Turns out he's had to sell his house. Turns out that if you look at everything that's going on in Steve Sarkisian's life, if you're a USC fan, you have to be saying to yourself, self, is this going to end well this year? Because the expectations are, how many publications were picking USC to go and run away with the Pac-12 South, or at least win the Pac-12 South? Many of them. So this story, to me, is worth watching. Arkansas State USC, to start the season 2 weeks, is a who cares game on one level. Another level, it's no. Their coach is clearly under the microscope. And if you're a UCLA fan, you're thinking, we're going to get some kids. Pat Hayden's job hiring, whether his basketball job or his football job, you've got to question it now. I mean, you really do. I've got some news and notes out of Texas A&M on Kyle Allen I want to get into later on in the hour. The sophomore quarterback out of Desert Mountain High School who will be starting against Arizona State. Also, the top high school game in the nation, number 2 in the nation against number 3 in the nation, is Chandler High against Bishop Gorman this Saturday. That's right, 2 against 3 nationally, I'm hearing. We'll talk about that too. And then Simeon Rice in about 20 minutes. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, Ahwatukee resident. He is at Bristol today with ESPN doing his thing. He joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you?
Brad, very well. Can't wait to get home tomorrow.
Yeah, been a good week for you?
Yeah, it's been a good 8 days, and just ready to get back to Ahwatukee, back to the Duke.
Okay, so I have full disclosure off the top of today's show. I said I'm completely distracted with what's happened in Roanoke today.
And I know.
And you've been there in live shots, and I've been there in live shots, and I've had times where I have not felt comfortable. You're on a national stage. What's it like at ESPN's newsroom today with this?
It's dark. I mean, this is, you know, we're all part of the same fraternity.
Yep.
And when something like that happens, it affects everyone. It affects everyone. It doesn't matter, you know, what station, what network, what city you're in, because like you said, we've all been a part of these type of shots. And, I'd say probably the most uncomfortable I've ever been was when the Cam Newton story broke down in Auburn and they sent me down there. And boy, were there some angry Auburn fans.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that he had been suspended, and then he got reinstated for the BCS championship game. But it was there were times that it was, we don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know. And it just sickens you when something like this happens, because you're so exposed. You're just not... It's never in your mind that it
nope.
could go to this length, and to see it happen, you know, live, really, and it's heartbreaking, it's sickening, and I don't know what's happening.
Is it one of these deals where your newsroom today is like, I'm sitting here with a bank of monitors, and I don't have sports on today. Is it like that at ESPN today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a bunch of monitors,
sure.
But... There's absolutely the news feed is on, and you know, it doesn't matter that it's not sports. It doesn't matter, you know, we're a sports network, but this, like I said, this goes beyond the pale of sports. This goes right to the workplace.
So about 4 years ago, when I first started doing this, we had a health site And I'm still have interest in going back to the health site. But I sat with a major hospital group, and they said to me straight up, they said, "We want to be with you because traditional media will not tell the story of mental health issues in our country because it's too uncomfortable." Coming up after the break, see somebody freak out. They're not going to stick through that. Yeah. They're not going to want to see somebody dealing with depression at great lengths or whatever it is that on the mental health unit. And they said to me at the time, the biggest issue in our country on the medical front by far is mental health issues. So I see this story today and I just shake my head and say, you know, were there warning signs, anything like that? You and I don't have answers for it, but there's more and more shootings that are going on out there. And if I don't even bring it up, if it's just like, "Hey, Pedro, how about the Diamondbacks?" Well, you're not into that today. I can tell.
Well, and I think one of the biggest reasons is, you know, when you see someone break their arm, break their leg, you see it go into a cast. You see them take off the cast. You see them start rehab. So you see the progress.
Right.
And, you know, mental health, there's no cast. There's no bandage. You don't see anything. You don't see the rehab. And unfortunately, we only hear when it reaches a point like this or other points that we've seen in recent weeks, months, years. And I just don't know what is going to happen. It's beyond the pale of fad. This is, you know, epidemic is a strong word. But my God, it's like it almost happens every few days and we're just so numb to it.
Right.
And yet nothing happens. Nothing is changed. We just continue with the same game plan and I guess just cross your fingers and hope.
Yeah. Do you think ESPN's going to sit and look at live shots and security? And are we going to get to that point? Am I overreaching on this?
I certainly hope not. I certainly hope not. But I think that that discussion is probably taking place.
I would have to believe
higher,
it.
On a much higher level than my pay grade. And I would think that it would probably be something like that Auburn incident a few years ago where, hey, this is a very, very controversial and passionate story that's eliciting a lot of passion on five different sides. And maybe we do need to do something for that type of a live shot. But again, I certainly hope not. But things have changed in this country a lot.
Your cameraman is your wingman.
Yeah, Brad, I go to the high school where my kids go, and it's like a fortress now.
Yeah.
And 3 years ago, 2 years ago, it was not like that.
Yep. No, I went to have lunch with my fifth grader 2 weeks ago, and I had to go through a completely set of protocol where my first three children, I could just go in and have lunch and enjoy my time with them. And it was almost like I needed a background check just to go have a sandwich with them. So,
yeah, and you got to be buzzed in. It's so different now.
Yeah. And people don't really see it happening.
It's completely different. Yeah.
On the Pedro Gomez with us from Bristol. So, on the baseball front, I'll make this transition as seamless as possible. Dave Stewart. If we're talking about executive of the year, I think A.J. Hinch is going to be manager of the year, okay? But if we're talking about executive of the year for what they've done, the Dodgers can go spend a payroll over $300 million and still not get out of their own way, right? If you were to look at jobs of what people have done, is it over with Chicago, with the Cubs, is it with the Pirates and what they've done? Would Dave Stewart even be part of that discussion this year for GM of the year?
Oh, I think he's going to be in the discussion, absolutely. I would think that somebody like Theo Epstein, maybe Sandy Alderson, who's, you know, made some very, very good moves during the season with his hands tied. I think John Daniels in Texas, almost remaking a third of that roster on the fly during the season. But I think when you look at what Dave Stewart has done, I think that has to come into play. He's probably going to be a long shot, but he has certainly earned a lot of respect with what he's done in his first year as GM from other GMs, and the Diamondbacks in turn have really opened eyes, and you know, they had a great run here, but it's one thing to play the Reds and beat up on the Reds, and you know, now they got into the big boy territory. They got into the deep end of the pool against the St. Louis Cardinals, and these first two games have not gone well, but it doesn't erase the big picture of what they've done all year. It just means they're not quite ready to get into the deep end of the pool quite yet.
I don't know if you saw the LA Times yesterday that Goldschmidt's leading the National League in OPS, and number two is Wellington Castile. And I would have never thought that.
Goldschmidt, no surprise.
Right.
Castile.
Yeah, I mean, if the tone of the article, and I forget who wrote it, but was that if you were looking at all the moves that the NL West teams have made this year, the best move was Wellington Castile for Mark Trumbo, which at the time was a nondescript who cares deal in June.
But again, they knew from spring training, from the moment Miguel Montero left, and they tried to get a catcher over the winter, and they weren't successful. They started the season with Tuffy, and Tuffy did everything he could. Got hurt, and they were thin. They were very thin. And you're right, Wellington Castillo is somebody that's bounced around. He's in his third organization in a year. You know, Cubs, Mariners, and now D-backs. It's not like he is thought of as a top-tier catcher or even a top one-third in the game type of starting catcher. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he has absolutely flourished since he's been in Arizona. And it does go to show, a lot of times, and you hear this from a lot of scouts, the level of talent between a major leaguer and, let's say, even an A-ball player, the level of just pure physical talent is really thin. It's what's between the ears. That's the separator that separates everyone who's in the big leagues from everyone else, and especially those who stay in the big leagues. And sometimes you just need somebody to say, you're our guy. Mm-hmm. There is nobody we're looking for. You're the guy. Go have fun. Go do your thing. And it's almost like that's exactly what the D-backs did with Castillo. And, I mean, you look right now, and he has emerged. On the offensive side, there's no doubt that he is a top-level type hitting catcher. And defensively, he's not horrible back there. He does very good things behind the plate. So, you know, sometimes your scouts see something that other scouts don't see. And the D-backs obviously said, this guy can be a front-end type of catcher. He can be a starting catcher and be successful. They saw something that the Mariners and the Cubs didn't see.
Before I let you go, is Matt Williams' job in jeopardy in Washington?
Oh, if they don't make the postseason, or if they get in and get bounced in the first round again,
yeah,
I would think so. I would think so. There's just that payroll is too big. The moves they have made, the players they have acquired. The reality is that when a team underachieves, there's usually one person that pays the price.
Sure.
And it's the manager.
Sure, sure. Good stuff. I'll let you go. Hang in there. I know it's a tough day in your newsroom.
Okay, Brad.
And
you
safe
too.
Travels.
You too.
See ya. It's Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst, baseball insider. Simeon Rice in about 15 minutes on his new movie, Unsullied. Looking forward to talking to Simeon Rice, who's made the transition out of the NFL. This is good to see because I've given you enough stories and examples of this player is out of football and he can't figure it out to save his life. Simeon has got his own movie. He co-wrote it. It opens this Friday. I'm going to talk to him about the NFL. What does he think of Sam Bradford being all whiny about Terrell Suggs? Could he play today for the Cardinals? And some other things in my mind with Simeon Rice. That comes up a little bit later. I'm Brad Sussmat. So what are we, 12, 14 days, or like, I don't know, 16 days away, Eric? Texas A&M? No, next week.
No, yeah, like 10 days.
The 10 days?
It's a week from Saturday. Just think of how close that is.
A week from Saturday. You're going to be in Houston. I may be in Houston still. I haven't decided yet. We've got some things that we're going to talk about with the show and some additions that we're making on the show probably Monday. I'm thinking Monday.
Yeah, you got to get off the fence with that. It's always, I might go to Houston. I may not go. I may go with you.
I got too many things going on.
Well, that's what happens. You are running a company.
This is...
And dealing with me every day.
But it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. You're going up to Vegas, huh?
I am.
So the Eric comes to me this last week. This is what I love about what we do. We are totally into being creative and collaboration, and we're not going to sit here and say, well, how many clicks are we going to get out of this if we go do this story? That's just dumb. It's just beyond silly. If we're going to look at clicks, let's just open an adult entertainment website. And we'll get plenty of clicks. Doesn't mean it's any good, right? So Eric comes to me after you saw Chandler play last Thursday against Pinnacle.
Yep, they had their scrimmage against Pinnacle. those poor Pioneers. They had no chance.
So he says, I want to go to Vegas. I want to go to Vegas to see Chandler against Bishop Gorman. I was talking to people over at Chandler High this morning because we just want to make sure everything is good to go up there. And evidently they're ranked second or third. It was either 2-3 or 3-4.
3-4. Chandler is third and Bishop Gorman is number 4. And that's a place, Brad, that I've always wanted to see a game because it's very unique to have a city where there's a high school stadium that's nicer than the college stadium.
And Sam Boyd Stadium's a dump.
It's okay.
No, it's a dump. Get out of here. It's a hole.
It's not on campus. It's out in the middle of the desert, and it's surrounded by tennis courts and soccer fields.
It was Todd Graham's first game to sit and watch Dennis Erickson, and the Sun Devils just mailed it in up there. That was the Vontaze, just a disaster. Vontaze with a coach fired in Las Vegas equals not good. So,
and Bishop Gorman is a place that, like I said, I've always wanted to see a game. They've had some pretty decent players come out of there. Oh, DeMarco Murray as one of them. Gray Rugemer, another one. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Did Randall Cunningham come out of Bishop Gorman? I know somebody will correct me on it if they did.
I don't know. I know his kid.
His kid was there. Or is there.
Well, Anu Solomon went to Bishop Gorman. I mean, there's plenty. So
here's the thing about this. We can go to NFL games, and we do. And we can go to college games, and we do. And we can go to the NFL Combine, and we can go to the NBA. We can go to a lot of places, but when someone comes down the hall and says, hey, so I want to go to Vegas, the whole deal is just go. If you see a story, go tell it. We don't need to sit here and do quality control and how are we going to pay for it and all that nonsense. You know, we're just going to go, and we'll figure that part out. If we can't afford it, we won't go. It's real simple.
They don't have a single bleacher seat in their high school stadium. Every seat
is it field turf?
It's field turf, and every seat is like a real folding down, like you'd see in an arena. It's a real backed, cushioned, armed seat.
How many Division I players? I think Jason and Jared were doing a special recruiting roundup on the game. It's on ESPNU Saturday nights.
Yep.
So it's got to be double digits, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Chandler's got 7 or 8 by themselves.
You know, the people at Chandler asked me to come by and give their kids a little bit of, and their coach, a little pep talk on how to deal with media. I'm going to do that tomorrow afternoon because we partner with the Chandler School District, and it's great. Texas A&M, they settled on Kyle Allen as their quarterback earlier this week. And I was reading some of the stories down there and some of the national view on Kyle Allen. And we've done a lot here on Kyle Allen because he's right here in our own backyard, and he's going to start against ASU. And I've seen where fans just cannot get enough of this game already. There's already this wow factor about ASU and Texas A&M in the season opener. I did see this one note, though, that scouts compare Kyle Allen to Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, former Boston College star. And they said that, quote, he's very consistent. He can make all the throws, very accurate, very live arm. He's got enough mobility to make things happen and scramble for a first down or a touchdown. Was it Mike Lopez just sent me a text? Randall Cunningham, Santa Barbara High School, 1981. So that's just, the guy just text me and send me an email. It's fine. But so scouts see Matt Ryan and Kyle Allen. Do you see that, Eric?
Sure.
Do you?
Same body type, same underrated mobility.
Is Matt Ryan one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, or is he just better than most, but not...
Is he elite? No, but is he one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL? I'd say he is.
I take him over Andy Dalton.
Of course.
I take Brian Hoyer over Andy Dalton. I would take... let me think. Who else? Take Drew Stanton over Andy Dalton. I would take Logan Thomas over Andy... Andy Dalton's going to be the punching bag all season long. I know he's your guy, but...
Yeah, likely. It's okay.
It's the way it goes. They also talked about how Kyle Allen, and there's a little bit of video from Kevin Sumlin I saw last night where he talked about how Kyle Allen is now actually becoming a leader, that was an area that he was not comfortable. He was not comfortable being vocal and assuming more of the leadership role with the team. And so now he's done it. that he's earned the respect from his teammates. When he says something at Texas A&M, they actually pay attention. The quarterback that Eric's going to see on Saturday night, Tate Martell for Bishop Gorman, has already committed to Texas A&M. There's already, how many, was it, Murray is a, he's a high-end.
Yeah, Murray's a true freshman, and Allen is a true sophomore, and Martell will be there, and they'll just have more quarterbacks than they can use. But that's the way it goes.
Do you think Kyle, this is an enormous game. It's an enormous game for Kyle Allen, because if he doesn't come out and play well, they're already going to be yelling for Murray. And down the road, they're going to say, how about this guy and this guy? So, big game. Simeon Rice scheduled to join us on the other side. We'll talk with Simeon, the former Arizona Cardinal, three-time Pro Bowler, about his new movie. He is now into directing and co-writing. His movie opens this Friday. The movie is Unsullied. Simeon Rice scheduled to join us next. I'm Brad Sussmat. If you miss any part of the show, it always is there for you online as well at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Simeon Rice jumps on board now. We've been looking forward to this interview. I heard about 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call that Simeon has gone into the world of film and he's directing. He co-wrote a movie, Unsullied, that opens this Friday. And I always like to have the stories of the players that once they're done with the NFL, they really thrive and their careers take off. And to say that Simeon Rice is doing film is not a surprise. I actually thought when I first started covering you here in Arizona that you would be doing what I'm doing. But you went way beyond that. So good for you. How are you, Simeon?
Not way beyond that. Different. I think what you do is excellent. And I think you're one of the best at what you do.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that, Simeon. It's good to hear your voice. Okay, so what got you into filmmaking? What pushed you in that direction?
Well, what led me here is watching endless amount of films, a lot of movies, and just being able to tell my story, a version of a story. Being a storyteller, creating stories of triumph, creating stories of overcoming, creating thrillers, creating suspenseful films. They move me. Films move you in so many ways, and so many notes and messages and film that it really, really just, it was tantalizing, the idea of becoming a filmmaker. So I went to film school and ultimately wrote several scripts. And here I can sit before you now if they have films coming out nationwide. It's an exciting time for me.
All right, let's talk about Unsullied. We've got some of the clips that are showing as you're talking about it. Tell me about this movie that opens Friday.
Well, Unsullied is an action thriller suspense about a young lady named Reagan Farrell, up on her way to a race. She gets kidnapped by two sociopaths, and she's thrusted into a game of kill or be killed.
And I don't want you to give it all away, but what did you want to accomplish with this movie?
Well, I just wanted to excite, thrill, leave people at the edge of their seat, begging for more. I wanted to give people the same experience as I got when I watched No Country for Old Men, when I watched The Gray, when I watch these thrillers and these suspenseful films, and I'm left at the edge of my seat. I just want to entertain people with a thread, with a story that just takes you on an epic ride, and you see what happens on the other side.
Who influenced your storytelling, Simeon? Who gave you the ability to tell story? Who opened your mind to that?
Well, the creative. Well, just being in a creative space, to be able to storytell, it really, the influences all around me. I get those influences from living life, from surmising stories, from mm-hmm. unique stories. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a story, and every story matters.
Yep.
And what heightens stories and what makes stories better, it's just what resonates with me.
Simeon Rice with Brad Sussmat.
Not necessarily the who, it's more situations.
Sure. No, that's great. The movie opens this Friday, Unsullied. Could you play today? If somebody called you today and said, hey, come over here and play, could you play today in the NFL?
Yes, I could.
What do you weigh today?
255.
What did you weigh when you finished playing?
260.
Well, so you're not hitting the buffet line at all. Jeez.
No, I still train the same way. I still train five, eight hours a day, you know, religiously 4 days a week. If I'm not pushing, you know, what I'm doing right now, has taken a bit away because I'm on this press junket, but typically I would be somewhere training.
I'm curious about today's NFL. What do you see in today's league? Is it the same league that when you left?
Oh, no, it's a whole nother. It's a different league. You know, you have to be a lot more politically correct. You also have to be forward-thinking. And you have to be really, like, as you know, I always spoke really carefree.
Yep.
Now you have to be really discerning. I mean, you can't be sincerity. You can't even be really sincere. Because you can be sincere something and come from a place where you're really not looking for any controversy and giving your stated opinion. And it's really dissected. We dissect everything, we watch everything, and you know, from a media standpoint, and everybody have an opinion about something, and you oftentimes see players apologizing for things they don't even really know what they're apologizing for. They get backlash for things that they're not even privy to. And in this day and age, all the players is protected. Quarterbacks is protected at an all-time high. They're really coddling quarterbacks. So their performances that's why you're getting the performances. Because football has always been a game of attrition. And it's all about the way I was taught to play football is making a guy stop wanting to run the ball or making a guy, you know, alligator arm himself across the middle. But now, you know, it's really an offensive game. You know, defensive players aren't really even allowed to play really all out.
Suspension thriller Unsullied, Simeon Rice directs, co-wrote. It opens this Friday. Before I let you go, you mentioned quarterbacks. Did you see or have you heard this week about Sam Bradford and Terrell Suggs and that whole situation of Suggs going low and Bradford complaining about it? And you talk about quarterbacks being coddled. Do you have some thoughts on that story this week?
I haven't heard about it, but this day he hit him low. What happened?
It was a preseason game, and he came in on Sam Bradford's knees, and Suggs said that's how you play the game of football, and it's preseason, and Bradford's had knee injuries in the past, and quite frankly, nationally, Sam Bradford's gotten crushed for his response on it. Like, look, this is part of the game.
It is a part of the game. I mean, it's hard for me to speak on matters I know nothing about.
Sure, sure.
I don't know who's right or who's wrong, so, you know, I don't like getting uninformed and unknowledgeable. That would be ignorant of me. But what I can say is this. Football is a game that's always, when I was taught in high school, you play with reckless abandon, like your hair was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you play all out. Now, you don't play to try to hurt anybody intentionally, but you know what? When I was a kid, and I picked up a helmet for the very first time, and a sticker that says, in that sticker, you hit somebody like this, it could cause injury or death. I put the helmet on anyway. In high school, that sticker was still there. I put the helmet on anyway. College, still there. Put the helmet on anyway. College and pros, still there. Put the helmet on anyway. And I don't cry about the results because I accepted the results of understanding this game was a very fierce game. If you got an icon on it, that's it. You could possibly die if you hit somebody a certain way. So all of this is to say is the game has an inherent danger. There are circumstances that goes with the game, not beyond the game, that once you play, you're susceptible to injury. So that's the game of football. I'm like, let these players play and you know, you deal with the results.
You watch the Cardinals at all? Do you have any thoughts on your time here in Arizona looking back on your career?
Oh, man. One of the best times of my life, you know, which led up to me playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Literally one of the best times of my life. In hindsight, you know, you always wish you can have a do-over or you can take certain things back. But in reality, everything happened the way it was supposed to. You know, we were two games away from the Super Bowl, which led me really to feel more ambitious about saying we can win, you know what I mean? So I felt like, you know, there was nothing like winning, so it led me on to my next road, my next path, which was Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it was a beautiful experience, and to see where the team is now, I mean, I applaud that organization for staying the course.
You were a Hall of Fame. You were on, in my opinion, Simeon, you were on your way to a Hall of Fame career, and I don't know if you're going to make the Hall of Fame, but in my opinion, you were a Hall of Fame caliber player. Maybe your time here in Arizona was before where you're able to really show what you're all about down in Tampa. Is that fair to say from your view?
You know, my numbers is what they are. I was the fastest to the 100 in sacks when I was playing. Double sack season, consistent performance playing every year. It is what it is. You know, now, yeah, it's no doubt I had a Hall of Fame career, but it's now it's in the hands of judges. And you know, they're talking to Ethos now is, will I get in? And I talked to AP writers, and they said they're going to fix and get it right. It's only time will tell, you know, but I did my work. And those that's learning from me, the young guys that I talk to, the defensive ends that's watched my tape and are influenced by my performance and my play, that's the relevance I have. You know, that my performance helped usher in the next generation of defensive ends and their style of play.
Good luck to you with Unsullied. I'm sure there's some other films coming down the road, but best of luck with this one.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate Simeon Rice joining us for a couple of minutes. Directs, co-wrote the movie Unsullied. It starts on Friday and opens up. I'm Brad Sussmat, back with more after this timeout.